Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Christian Communicators Live. We thank you for being with us this afternoon. Vonda is on the line, and I'm Carolyn Kenethly here at Christian Communicators. The latest news on the Christian Communicators Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, we're full, which means
Our lines are open
for the waiting list, and I'm sure you're as excited as I am, Vonda, about the conference. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. You know, we speak every year about how God brings specific women to this conference, the ones He orchestrated, that He preordained to come. And we just can't wait to see who He brings this year. And I'm also excited because of our guest that we have today, Elizabeth Rice Hanford, and she has offered two books as a giveaway for someone to, if someone calls in, the first caller gets Esther, Why Here, Why Now, and Me, Obey Him. So listeners, just listen in for when we open the phone lines, and at that time you'll call this number, 347-843-4920, and the first caller will receive this nice package of Elizabeth's books. Back to you, Carolyn.
Thanks a lot. I am more than ecstatic about introducing Elizabeth Rice Hanford. And her topic is going to be Never Hang Up on God's Call Today. But the reason why I love her so much, she's been my Bible study teacher for 7-plus years. I respect her greatly, but I'm also very guilty of calling Mrs. Hanford Libby. And it's with that I'd like to say thank you, Libby, for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be here, Carolyn and Vonda. I have to tell you that I'm not the expert. I'm really a fellow traveler with these people, and I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, well, we're so glad to have you here with us today. And I would like to tell our listeners a little bit about you, Libby. God has called you to be a writer and speaker early in your journey in God's story. What I've learned from you, as a child, you loved books and you saw the tremendous power words have to change lives. And throughout your years in conversational prayers with God about being His scribe and His voice, you have shared your desires with Him in prayer early on of wanting to be married to a man in ministry, have a house full of children, and teach women. Without being disconnected from God, God's grace, He's given you all those desires of your heart while building your character on the battlefield of life that has led thousands of people to His side through your writing, speaking, and teaching. And I am so blessed being under your teaching umbrella. Also, Libby began her writing career by writing a children's column for her father, Dr. John R. Rice, The Sword of the Lord. And then for 31 years, she wrote monthly articles for the magazine, The Joyful Woman, and was their editor for 18 years. Answering God's call has resulted in Libby's being published by Moody, Zondervan, ACE, Sword Books, and Joyful Christian Ministry. She has written books for women. Her best known, Me, Obey Him, sold over 650,000 copies. Mm. Not Hanging Up on God's Call, she has written books for children and teens, as well as 14 Bible studies in a Find Out for Yourself series. For 10 years, Libby has written a weekly devotion at joyfulchristianministries.org. Presently, her latest manuscript, a novel, Dying of Thirst by the Fountain, is in the hands of an agent. God is making the call on that one, too. Well, I could go on and on about our dear Libby. It's a long list of God answering her prayers and she being obedient in fulfilling his call. Vonda and I are full of joy that we get to hear more of your journey, Libby, as a writer, and your encouraging words for all levels of writers today. Some of us had been tempted to hang up on the Lord when the call for writing and speaking has been there. So your words of wisdom is greatly appreciated. Well, you have listened long for my presentation of Libby. So I'm going to start out with the first question.
All right.
Libby, would you share with us, as a young girl, you said you began your writing career as a columnist for Dr. John R. Rice, your father's publication. Would you please share with us how God called you onto this adventure?
Well, as I told you personally, Caroline, I've always loved books. And my daddy was a prolific writer, and so I saw what books did in his life. When I was in high school, I won several awards for writing things that I had written. And my church asked me to write a weekly column for their bulletin. And I was mentored in that by the man who taught journalism at Wheaton College, and he was the first editor of Christian Life magazine. And so he helped me about learning how to do it. And then, of course, my father gave me lots of input about it, too. So my husband made it so easy for me to serve the Lord. He'd buy me any equipment that I needed to do the work. So I've been unusually privileged about that kind of thing.
Well, you said your husband. So God answered your prayer with allowing you to marry a minister. Did you meet him on the Wheaton College campus?
I met his mother and daddy in Seattle before I met him. The Lord kind of engineered that for me. I wouldn't have been able to do what I've done had not he been so supportive about it.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, since you kept a direct line open between you and God, how did God help you in your calling as a writer to meet weekly and other deadlines?
Well, actually, I think that a deadline is one of the best things that can happen to a writer. I tend to, as you said, I write a weekly devotional for an internet company and for The Joyful Woman. And I kind of think about what I'm going to write for the whole week, and I do some looking up of references and that kind of thing early in the week. And then when I sit down to write it, it's always the last day at the last moment that I write it and send it. So I do think that having a deadline through the years has been wonderful for me. The other thing I do is that if I don't have a deadline imposed on me, I make a schedule myself about when I'm going to finish certain things. For example, right now I'm putting into book form for that Bible study, Find Out For Yourself Bible study that I taught you all last fall. And so I've made an obligation to myself to revise one chapter every week. And so I create deadlines because I feel like if you've got all the time in the world, then you won't do anything. So, yes, deadlines are essential.
Deadlines sound like your motivation, and yet you're self-motivated by creating a schedule. I wish you would kind of sprinkle some of that determination on me. Another question for you, Libby. What is the importance of a story in any article or within a book or a speaking event with your experience? I know with your teaching, your Bible study teachings, you give us stories which personalizes a message from Scripture. So how important is story to you?
I think all of us love stories. I think it's the best way in the world. You can create anticipation. And I, personally, I think you ought to use fiction techniques that you use about building tension and dreams of foreshadowing and that kind of thing in an article, just like you do in a fiction story, that you make it interesting and you make it mysterious and you make it personal. Sometimes people don't realize they have a need until they hear the story, and then they say, oh, I feel that way too. So, yes, I think you use it, the story, to create the need and then to give an example and then how to meet the need. And an opening story can at least open the heart to what the need may be.
What about someone who has been asked to give their testimony? How does their story become a ministering tool to someone else?
Perhaps partly to think about the kind of problems that person faced in their lives, and
mm-hmm.
then to show the steps they used to deal with it, and then to show the outcome. Sometimes the only outcome we can say is, I've put it in God's hands, and he's going to have to end this story for me because I don't know how it will end. I do believe that transparency is very important in anything we're doing. I thought the Lord and he heard me is kind of the idea that you're going beyond the incidents of the story God was leading and showing you during that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember visiting with you one time. You had a great memorable story. I call it the toilet story.
Now, Caroline, I didn't tell that story to illustrate a point. You asked me what was my most embarrassing moment, if I remember correctly. Anyhow, Walt and I were in Stratford-on-Avon in Stratford, and staying at a real antique hotel where some of Shakespeare's plays had first been played. Swanky place. We were walking from the hotel over to the theater, and I decided at the last minute to drop in on the ladies' restroom on the ground floor. Didn't tell Walt because I thought I could get in and out real quick. Went in, got out, started walking across this crowded lobby, and I heard a voice behind me saying, Madam, and I looked around, and this man was sweeping up sheets of toilet paper until he got to the edge of my hem, and there he stopped. And I looked, and I saw down the hall my husband just grinning away at my discomfort. That's a toilet story, and I don't want to be reminded of it again.
It's amazing. Whenever we share embarrassing moments like that, I think our readers or our listeners, our audience, they can, you know, chuckle, identify, and be put at ease that we're
all
real
right. Okay.
as writers and speakers.
You go ahead and make it a spiritual story. To me, it's kind of embarrassing.
I think God has a great sense of humor. What is the hardest part about writing for you?
I think the matter of accountability. When we start to write something, we actually make a contract with the reader. If we've defined a problem and illustrated it and given examples of it and then shown a solution to it, we have to be very careful, because what we write, people will read and believe. And so I think it's the matter of being so careful to do exactly what the passage of Scripture that we're dealing with teaches. Daddy used to say, not only are you accountable for what you write, you're accountable for what people think you said. And so, especially in the book with me, Obey Him, when so many, I got hundreds of calls, literally, of people asking me how to apply that in a specific situation in their homes. And I was aware then again of how great my responsibility is to God to tell it accurately and sweetly and genuinely. I think that's probably the hardest part about it.
Wow, it is, and I'm glad you reminded all of us of that. One last question before I ask Vonda to remind our audience how to call in and ask you a question is, how does one not hang up on God when the call feels overwhelming, or even when we think it's unnecessary to either write or speak or give our testimony?
Let's see if I can answer that. First of all, I am committed to trying to do the will of God. I love that scripture in Psalm 40, verse 8, where it's quoting Jesus, actually. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. The word is engraved. And so if God's will is written in my heart, then I need to find out what he wants me to do. And not everybody's called to write. And not some people are called to write something specific, but not necessarily to make a lifetime of it. Psalm 12, verse 4 says, instruct me in the way chosen for me. And I would love to choose. I would love to do what God has chosen me to do, and to do that, I need to listen to what he says. He will instruct me.
Wow. I just love being under your teaching, but I have to pause for a moment for Vonda to share with our listeners about the phone lines. Vonda, would you do that for us, please?
I sure will. I know our listeners are just as excited as we are to glean this wonderful information from Libby, and especially as writers and speakers. So if you have a question for Libby, now is the time to call in and ask her your question, and the first caller will get two of Libby's books. The first one, Esther, Why Here, Why Now? And the second, Me, Obey Him. Sounds like two awesome books, and I know you would love to be the winner. So if you could call in with a question, the number is 347-843-4920. That's 347-843-4920. Now we can get back to hearing some really great information from Miss Libby. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vonda. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Well, Libby, there are so many questions whenever you and I get to have time together talking about all sorts of things. I love your love for the Lord. It's contagious. It's infectious. But I need to ask you another question about writing. What, in your opinion, are the most important elements to good writing, especially good Christian writing?
Did you say the elements of writing, good writing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First of all, I think it needs to be, I guess the first thing we should say is, why am I writing this? And I often sketch out a mission statement for what I'm writing. Why am I doing this? And what is the result I want? And how will I get that result? It could be a funny story. It doesn't have to be a tragedy to bless the Lord and to bless other people. It could be a very cheerful little piece. But it does have to have an object in mind. And then to look for ways to make that clear to the people you're reading, that you're writing for. Dr. Collins, he's a Christian man who defined the human genomes, the 72 genomes of the human body, says that everybody is born with a moral law inside them. And even people like Richard Dawkins, who was such an evolutionist and so adamant about it, still said, yes, human beings have a moral code written in their hearts, not like any other animal. I think if we can appeal to that moral code in the heart you understand what I'm saying, look for the below the surface, not for the surface noises, but underneath to the basic need of the heart and write toward that. I think that would be the most important thing.
Wow. I appreciate that answer. I love the idea of, with Christian communicators, when the ladies come to the conference, we always talk about having a mission statement. What is your objective in your ministry? You just touched on that so beautifully.
One thing, one thing that I think we need to be careful to say is, I don't know that you're ever going to be able to make a living. Most of us will not be able to earn enough money in writing to make a living at it. So that probably ought not to be the most important goal, just to sell something.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. Same with speaking. You may there are a few who make a good living, others who are called to speak just to give the message, even if it's for one person.
Absolutely.
What if you could leave your reader with one legacy? What would that be?
Oh my! It would be, I have one life that I'm going to live. Lord, please help me use this one thing that you've given me in the best possible way. And that means that it won't be something that's satisfying to the body necessarily, or even something pretty or something useful. It will be what was done in people's hearts. And I want it to be that when I face the Lord, I can hear him say, "Well done, servants, you did a good job." The scripture in 1 John 2 says, don't love the world and the things that are in the world, because the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And I'd like it so that I could give people some glimpse of using this one life God's given them for his glory, whatever it is. And sometimes it's just a word to someone on the street, you know, in the grocery store, something like that. You might not think it profound, but oftentimes it'd be the one thing that person really needed that God's let you say for them so that they would get what they needed.
Mm. Wow. Mm. I found the same thing with a smile sometimes. If I smile at someone, I can see on their face that just that smile at that moment. And there are many times it's the Holy Spirit that I don't even realize I'm smiling. But then I see them light up, and then I recognize, oh, okay, it's the Holy Spirit shining. I think all of us have that one legacy. Can we pass on the light of the Lord?
Yeah. And,
well,
and
another
question. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Excuse me.
No, I'm listening.
You won't have a chance to show them the whole gospel necessarily, but it says there's a God who loves you too, is the idea, I think. I had one time I was standing in a long line waiting for an order at Sears, and a man came to me and said, you look happy. Why are you happy when we're all standing here in line so long? And that gives you a little chance to say the Lord loves you.
It is. Well, you know, in Bible study, it's always what I try to get the ladies to do, the five-minute talk testimony. That moment to brag on Jesus. I love those moments.
I do, too.
Not only getting to do it, but to hear others to have their bragging moments.
Yes.
Well, I have
yes.
just a couple more questions for you, because I'm watching the time. I just hate that it flies by so rapidly. But before I ask the other two questions, is there anything additional that you would like to share with our listeners today about writing, speaking, teaching?
Okay. I think that one of the things would be perhaps keep doing it. Write every day. Do something to put your story down in print. It's a very lonely business. I've often thought I was writing sheets of paper and wadding them up and throwing them over the cliff and not knowing whether anybody was going to hear them or not. And I think a lot of the stuff I've written probably deserved to be thrown over the cliff. But But you have to keep at it. It's lonely, and it's long, and it's frustrating. I'm often frustrated just because I can't do it as well as I imagined it. And so that's when I say, Lord, this is your job. You help me to say what's right, whether I like it or not.
Well said. With that, you talk about loneliness. What are the benefits of answering God's call to be lonely and right?
Have I told you about one time, I think I was at a book fair, I'm not even sure I remember, but there was a little boy huddled in the corner about 9 years old, huddled in the corner to get away from everybody else, and he was reading a little of the book I wrote on the mystery of the smudged postmark, and he was just enthralled with it. And I think that day I got paid back for everything I'd ever written. I will tell you this. One time, am I talking too much? Should we have another minute?
No, keep going.
Okay. I was speaking at a mother-daughter banquet down on the coast, and a woman came to me and said, I owe you an apology. No, lady, I never saw you before in my life. Yes, my marriage was deteriorating. Someone gave me your book on me, Obey Him, and the first page made me so mad, I tried to flush it down the toilet, and it wouldn't flush. And so I tried to burn it, and it was too wet to burn by then. So I threw it across the living room wall, let it splash against the wall, and left the book on the floor there for 6 months. But my marriage deteriorated, and I determined to find out what God said. So I read the book, and my husband is saved, and we're both living for the Lord now.
Oh,
isn't that fun?
Wow. That's results. That is wonderful, wonderful. It has just been such a pleasure visiting with you, hearing from you today. I have a hard last question. How does one know if the call is from God or we're doing the calling?
Simple. I want to do God's will. He has promised me that if I want to do it, he'll show me. John 7:17 says, if any man is willing to do his will, he'll know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or of God. So if you want to know God's will, he will show it to you. You do the best you can with what you think God wants you to do, and he'll show you at some point what it is.
Wonderful. Thank you, Libby, so much for sharing with us today. Keep answering God's call, because he is using you as he is blessing us as writers, speakers, and seekers. I love the Bible teaching, and I'm going to have to go now to a message to our listeners. Dear listeners, Libby Elizabeth Rice Hanford welcomes contact from other writers. She's even given us her email for you to contact her. It's LibbyRH@AOL.com. That's LibbyRH@AOL.com. Well, thank you all for joining us today at Christian Communicators Live. If you're being called to be a writer, speaker, start a ministry, stop by ChristianCommunicators.com to sign up for the waiting list for the August Christian Communicators Conference. Without you, there would be no reason to have Christian Communicators Live. I ask you to go ahead and brag on Jesus today through your speaking, through your writing, through sharing your testimony, and most of all, your love for the Lord. Thanks so much. And make it a great day. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.